Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome. This is Rabbi Michael Katz here. It is Judaism 101.9 and we are coming to you live on Chai FM on this very, very beautiful Thursday morning, as we do every Thursday at 11 or shortly thereafter, after the news and a song and so on, a little bit of an introduction, we get to Judaism 101.9. Now, we've been off air for a while, scheduling of Pesach and the things surrounding it that kind of took out a few Thursdays from our calendar, from our events. So nice to be back with you. It's great to be in your company and good to be able to share with you some thoughts on this very special day, which is Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. We are coming towards the end of the month of Nisan. Yes, our month of Gula, our month of getting out of Egypt and Pesach and so on is now already fading into the distant past. And we are heading towards a brand new month, the new month of Iyar, and everything that it has in its wake and that it has lying ahead for us, and beautiful things, some of which we will address and talk about today. But tonight and tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, as is Friday night and Shabbos. So 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. I've explained to you before that when we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, the 30th day of the preceding month, so in other words, in this time, Nisan, the 30th day is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and the first day of the next month is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. And so it's Friday, 30th, tonight and tomorrow, Thursday night, Friday, Rosh Chodesh. Day one, day two of Rosh Chodesh is Friday night and Shabbos, which takes us into, in earnest, into the month of Iyar. Now, it is quite an amazing thing that when you think about the month of Nisan, I think most people can tell us exactly what Nisan is all about. It is this incredible month. It's the time of Geula. It's the time of the redemption of the Jewish people, getting out of Egypt. It's the time of Pesach. It's got all of those things embedded within it, and kind of this high point kind of a month. When it comes to the next one, Iyar, if you stop people in their tracks and you ask them, what is this month all about? Well, they may be able to tell you a few much more modern occurrences, but things going all the way back, few and far between, so it would seem. And yet, we're told in a very, very powerful way by our sages that this month of Iyar has so much within it and so much relevance, and so important is this month of Iyar, for not the least of which is that there is something, let's call it synchronistic or exceptional about every single day of the month of Iyar, which no other month in the Jewish calendar actually has. But if we get into it and we think about upcoming days of this month, the end of this month, and the few days into next week, in other words, the days on which precede my next time that we have the opportunity to share some thoughts here on Chai FM, on Judaism 101.9. And we go back in history and we think about the impression of history on this particular period of time. We take a look at, first of all, tomorrow, Friday, which is, as we said, Rosh Chodesh. And that in itself is a very, very important and significant idea, you know. We're watching, I'm sure everybody has at some stage watched about the Artemis expedition, the astronauts going up and circling the moon. And we think about the significance that the moon plays in the Earth and on influence on our lives. And we think about how this significant venture, this significant trip to go and to circle around the moon and go into the orbit around the moon and then come back home, which these astronauts did, and this incredible event. Absolutely amazing as to how it is all accomplished. Even today, when you think about it, that they're talking about 50 years that people haven't been up to that level and to that part of the universe and going close to the moon. But the significance of the moon, it plays a huge role in our lives, and therefore Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the new month, is the time of a new moon. And we think and we look at the new moon, which will be a new moon tonight and tomorrow night. We have Rosh Chodesh. We commemorate that. We celebrate that. We look at the moon as having a great significance in our lives, not just as a place to send an expedition to and to go and visit and go and look at. And they're talking about establishing a space station on the moon, etc. It's not just about that. It's much more about the spiritual dimension and the two great luminaries that God placed into the world, as they called, the one being the sun, the other being the moon, the one to light up the day, the other one to give us a significant idea of how we are to light up the night. And of course, both sun and moon playing the significance that they do in our Jewish calendar. If we fast forward to Shabbos, of course, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, but it is also on this day, on the 1st of Iyar, in the year 370 before the Common Era, that construction began of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple. So 53 years following the destruction of the first Holy Temple, Zerubbabel and Yeshua, the high priest, began construction of the second temple with the permission of King Cyrus of Persia. The offering of sacrifices had actually commenced a few months earlier on a vacant lot where the first temple stood. However, it was only after the construction started on the 1st of Iyar that the Levium began accompanying the service with song and music, and the construction was halted later after the hostile Samaritans supplied false, slanderous information to Cyrus about the Jews' intentions. The construction was resumed many years later and completed 21 years after that under the reign of King Dariovish, or Darius, as he was known. It is also marks the day on Rosh Chodesh Iyar that the Jews were counted in the desert. This is in 1312 before the Common Era. God spoke to Moses in the Sinai Desert on the first day of the second month, Iyar, during the second year from the departure from Egypt. And he said, count the number of the nation of Israel, and each one according to their families and their father's households, those who are 20 years old and older. And so the began the idea of a census, or the counting of the Jewish people. And aren't we also counting at this stage? The idea of the value that is placed in something that is counted is of great significance. We'll talk a little bit more about that perhaps a little bit later. If we then go one day further forward, we have Sunday, the 2nd of Iyar. Now this day in 1834, so much more recent history, the 4th Lubavitcher Rebbe, the 4th Rebbe of Chabad Lubavitch, Rabbi Shmuel Schneerson, who lived from 1834 to 1882, is known as the acronym Maharash, because his name was Reb Shmuel Maharash, was born in the town of Lubavitch. Yes, it was a town in White Russia. And he was born on the 2nd of Iyar in 1834. His father, Reb Menachem Mendel of Lubavitch, the 3rd Lubavitcher Rebbe, or known as the Tzemach Tzedek, once remarked that Reb Shmuel's birthday, coinciding with the 17th day of the Omer, is defined by Tiferet Sheba Tiferet, or beauty, harmony within harmony, beauty within harmony. Although Reb Shmuel was the youngest of Reb Menachem Mendel's seven sons, he was chosen to succeed his father as the Rebbe and leader of Chabad, and in addition to leading his Hasidim, guiding and advising their spiritual material lives, and authoring many Maamorim, many Hasidic discourses. Reb Shmuel traveled extensively throughout Europe, meeting with government and business leaders to exert pressure on the Tsarist government to halt its instigation of pogroms against the Jews of Russia. And he passed away at the tender age, of, might I say, of 48, on the 13th of Tishrei in 1882. Now,
get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Yes, this is Rabbi Michael Katz. This is Judaism 101.9, and we are coming to you live on Chai FM. We are talking about the dates of this week back in history. And we're up to the 3rd of Iyar. The 3rd of Iyar is going to correspond with Monday, this coming Monday. And here in 1556, following the Portuguese expulsion in 1496, many Jews who chose to remain in Portugal became known as Marranos. Now, I'm sure you've heard that name before, Marranos. openly identifying themselves as Christians while secretly maintaining Jewish beliefs and traditions. Many of the secret Jews eventually migrated to other countries where they once again openly professed their allegiance to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. However, because they had been baptized, their situation was often perilous. On the 3rd of Iyar in 1556, on the orders of Pope Paul IV, 25 of these hidden Jews were burnt at the stake in Ancona in Italy. Now, we think about the role that unfortunately the popes played in the previous history of Jews in that part of the world. Here in 1556, the Pope ordered Jews to be burnt at the stake. Now, a famous, wealthy, and influential lady by the name of Gracia Mendes Nassi, herself a Portuguese crypto-Jew, who relocated to the Ottoman Empire, and in her past, she had personally experienced persecution because of her status. And when she heard about the burning of her co-religionists, she organized a financial boycott against the port of Ancona. Think about it. A boycott of the port starts sounding a little bit modern as well. And she called on all Jews to do trade from the neighboring harbors and thus financially ruin that port and that part of the world. Her trade embargo was successful for a few months and is considered to be one of the first times that Jews struck back against the Inquisition. One woman, Gracia Mendes Nassi, who organized this incredible boycott of the port, and it was a protest, of course, against the terrible, terrible rules and regulations that they brought into being against the Jews in that part of the world. Now, if we go forward to the fourth day of Iyar, which is going to be on Tuesday, the Rambam, Maimonides, was saved in 1165 on this day, the fourth of Iyar. He observed the Maimonides, the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, who lived from 1135 to 1204, as a personal day of fasting and prayer. He recounted that when he and his family were fleeing Islamic persecution from Fez in Morocco to the Holy Land, the ship was caught in a fierce storm at sea. He cried out to God in prayer and vowed to fast each year on this date because of the fact that they were miraculously spared. His life was saved on that day. Going forward to the 5th of Iyar, the 5th of Iyar marks some really older events. And let's go to 1799. In 1799, the attempted conquest of Acre was a vital part of Napoleon Bonaparte's Mediterranean campaign against the Ottoman Empire. However, the local troops, supervised by the Pasha's Jewish advisor, Chaim Parchi, valiantly withstood the two-month-long siege, and after a final attempt to conquer the city on the 10th of May, which corresponded to the 5th of Iyar, Napoleon gave up his plans and the siege was lifted. So Napoleon failed in Acre. We know famously the failure in Russia. And isn't it interesting that this took place 1799 on the 5th day of Iyar, which then, of course, if we project forward to 1948, the State of Israel was proclaimed, the British mandate to govern the Holy Land expired on Friday the 14th of May in 1948. A United Nations resolution passed 6 months earlier endorsed the establishment of a Jewish state in the biblical homeland for the Jewish people. And that afternoon, famously, the State of Israel was proclaimed in Tel Aviv. Immediately, four neighboring Arab countries launched a brutal war on Israel's Jewish inhabitants, but they were unable to realize their full bloodthirsty intent in circumstances describable only as miraculous. And the date, the 5th of Iyar on the Jewish calendar, is of course today celebrated as Yom HaAtzmaut, as the Israeli Independence Day. And all of this, of course, in the build-up to this, or in the background, to this incredible week that we are living through, that we are thinking about. Now let's perhaps go right back to the beginning and talk about Rosh Chodesh Iyar and the month of Iyar. The month of Iyar is a month that's kind of sandwiched between two other very dominant, very powerful months, let's call them. The month of Nisan, as we mentioned before, and then the month of Sivan, the third month. We know when we got out of Egypt that we quit Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, middle of the month of Nisan. We arrived at Mount Sinai at the beginning of the month of Sivan, and so it was a few days into, just about a week into the month of Sivan, that the Torah was given to us. Now remember then, that was a total of 7 weeks, 50 days, from the beginning of from the time of the Exodus right up until we received the Torah, 50 days. It mirrors today what we call the period of the time called Sfirat HaOmer, which we'll talk about soon. But sandwiched in between these two highlight months, where you have the highlights of the Exodus, of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the highlights of Matan Toratenu, of the giving of our Torah, receiving of our Torah at Mount Sinai, we've got a month sandwiched in between the month of Iyar, a full month that kind of is not that recognized as a month that has a character of its own, that has a strength of its own. It doesn't depict Geula, redemption. It doesn't depict Torah as its neighbors do. And yet, of course, we always know from a Torah perspective, if you take an analogy of a sandwich and you think about the sandwich that we ate at the Pesach Seder, you've got the matzahs on the outside. Now, we're not belittling in any way the matzah, but what was inside, the essence of that sandwich, is the significance. You know, if you talk about that you're having a sandwich, it's not that you count, well, I'm having bread sandwich, and it just happens to be that there is a filling in between. We talk about it as being the filling, being of paramount importance. And I think we could perhaps suggest that this month of Iyar, which fills in the middle of the Sfira sandwich, is full of really, really special, special stuff. Not the least of which is that it is unique in the Jewish calendar, the month of Iyar, in that it is the only month in the whole Jewish calendar, and listen carefully, where there is a significant and special mitzvah that pertains only to that day, and that day being the each day of the month of Iyar. The month of Iyar, all the days of the month, every one of them, has a significant mitzvah for the day. And of course that is Sfirat HaOmer. And you're going to say, well, hey, 1 second. But so does half of Nisan, and so does the first week of Sivan, or the first few days of Sivan. They also have that. But there's exactly the point. Those days have mitzvahs. So if you think about significant special mitzvot that we have in the month of Nisan, for instance, they start from the 14th, with the time of the Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of Bedikat Chametz and burning of the Chametz and so on, which we all did, and then leading up. But it's the first 13 days don't have those significant special mitzvahs where we make a special bracha, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav, that God has commanded us to do a special mitzvah at that particular time. It's only half of the month of Nisan. If we go to the month of Sivan, it's only the first few days of the month of Sivan that we're still counting Sfira. And then, of course, there's the significant special mitzvahs of Shavuot, of Shavuos, and the giving of the Torah, and so on. And then the rest of the month doesn't have its own special mitzvahs. Of course, there are tons of other mitzvahs that we have to do every day, but not ones that pertain only and specifically to that particular day. The month of Iyar is the only one in the whole Jewish calendar where every single day of the month kind of has this equality, this equal stature, that every single day of the month has its own particular mitzvah. And that is the Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. And therefore we have to relook at and think about the power of the month of Iyar as being really, really deeply significant. Yes, it's not loud, and yes, it's not full of the Chagim like Nisan or like Sivan on a level of the regalim of the special pilgrim festivals or of the Rosh Hashanahs and Yom Kippurs or even of the Purims and Chanukahs. But here we have every single day counts equally in this whole plan of each one being part of the significant mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. Now, the counting of the Omer has kind of been given a bad name, I guess, by events that happened afterwards, because if we look back spiritually, significantly, the counting of the Omer was not really counting of the Omer as much as it was counting from the Omer. The Omer offering was the flour, the wheat offering that was brought on the second day of Pesach, and it was from that, when we saw that we were told, now you should start counting the Omer. That was the sign of that offering that was brought at the beginning of Pesach, now start counting. And so on the second night of Pesach, and you would know, it's even printed in the Haggadah, that we are reminded at our second Seder that we need to count Sfirat HaOmer. We start counting day number one, and so we keep on going throughout this period of time until we complete the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer after we have counted 49 days, the full 7 weeks. That's when the mitzvah is completed. And each day we're doing something to count the days. Now, why do we count things? Well, if we go back to our old nursery rhymes, we would know that, when kings are in their counting houses, they're counting out their money. Things that are significant to people are counted. You wouldn't count grains of rice. You wouldn't count, well, I hope not, you wouldn't count grains of flour. You're probably not even going to count potatoes in your sack of potatoes that you get. But you do count things that have a significance and a value in and of themselves, when they're valuable to you, when they're special, when they're significant, whether they are diamonds, whether they are gold coins, whether they are whether it's money. We count things that have a value. But of course, we count and we make things count when we have a significance that's placed in them. Hashem, as we mentioned in our introduction, picks a date called Rosh Chodesh Iyar to start counting the Jewish people, to take a census of the Jewish people. Why did he do that? You think God could not have just done a scan and said, okay, there are exactly this number of Jews. Of course he could have done that, but there was the important significance of making everybody count, of counting them. And as things are counted, a significance is placed within each item and within each person that is counted. Wow, I really count. I'm significant. And the Sfirat HaOmer has that overlay as well, where we are counting each day, and each day counts. Each day is significant. But it is also significant in that it makes up one of the 49 days of the 7 weeks of Sfirat HaOmer. It is... each day is significant, each day counts, each day is purposeful, each day is beautiful and important and grand and wonderful, and it is also grand and wonderful and beautiful in its role that it plays as part of the whole. And isn't that an incredible lesson and message for each and every one of us at this time of Sfirat HaOmer?
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, and welcome back. Yes, this is Rabbi Michael Katz, and we're here on Judaism 101.9 on Chai FM and coming towards the latter part of our show, but we've been talking about Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. Now, the counting of the Omer is not just the idea of counting. So we spoke before the break about the idea that when we count something, that we place a significance in it, something that is counted. If you think even about things that are sold by number, in other words, when you buy a certain number of things, of a product, rather than buying it by weight or by size, it has a significance in that each one that is counted has that significance. So that is just one idea behind the counting. But what is this idea of counting? Well, of course, it is the idea of looking forward to. We're looking forward to Shavuot. We're looking forward to the highlight of Zman Matan Torateinu, the time of our receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai. And we re-receive it every single year, you know, in the bracha that we make every day, that we say the bracha early in the morning, and it's also made by everybody who gets called up to the Torah, that we say, Notein HaTorah. God isn't the one who gave us the Torah, but God is the one who gives us the Torah. The Torah is continually given. It is continually re-received. It is continually re-given to us. It's with us all the time, fresh and current and new, rather than it having been given and then shelved or placed in the Aron Kodesh, placed in the Ark, and sort of forgotten about. There is something great and deep and profound and important about that in and of itself. So when we think about the idea of the Torah being given to us every year we have the same anticipation and the same excitement and the same build-up. But now, when we spoke about before, they recently launched a trip to the moon on Artemis 2. So we've got now the idea of a countdown that takes place when a launch takes place. Yeah, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We count, significantly the world tells us count down. No, Jews count up. Have you ever thought about that? We count up, we increase. So not only do we increase always in joy, and we increase in things of happiness, and we increase in the number of mitzvot, but each day of the count of the Sfirat HaOmer from Pesach to Shavuot is adding to and increasing and enjoying and investing and making sure that we have fixed up whichever black holes we have to fix up and whichever things we need to rectify and put right in our own systems and in our own spiritual makeup and in our own looking forward to Shavuot. There is the additional idea of increasing. So as we look forward to the time of the giving the Torah, we increase in our spiritual well-being, in our spiritual wherewithal, and we keep on working on different dimensions of our beings, of our souls, so that come Shavuot, we are not only as ready as we were at Mount Sinai to be able to say, Naaseh v'nishma, that we will do it and we will receive it, but in fact even more so, because we've had all these years and all these decades and centuries of experience, that now, Notein HaTorah, we're going to receive the Torah and we're ready for it. We are prepared. Everything is ready. We're looking forward not only with the anticipation of what Shavuot is going to bring and the time of the giving of the Torah, but that we are spiritually ready and committed to receive it in every possible way and in every dimension of our souls. Be back with you to sum up right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi, yes, Rabbi Michael Katz here with you. It's Judaism 101.9. We're on Chai FM, and it's great to have you in our company and to be able to share some thoughts with you on Judaism, on things that we should know, on things that we need to know, on things that perhaps we've forgotten, things that we need to be reminded about. But great to be able to chat with you and to spend this time with you thinking about our build-up to the month of Iyar, our build-up to Rosh Chodesh, and our build-up through this month to the wonderful time of Shavuot, of Zman Matan Torateinu, which we begin in earnest, really, come this weekend with the month to go, kind of marker. And then, of course, it's into the month of Sivan following that and the time of the giving of the Torah. And we think about what we need to do. Now, we know famously that when we take the word Sfira, Sfira means to count, Lispor, to count. You've learned that word and you know that word, Lispor, means to count. But it also comes from the word of the precious stone, the sapphire, Sapir. We're supposed to make shine. We're supposed to make our souls shine. And each day of Sfirat HaOmer, we work on a different dimension of our soul. There are so many different things that go into the composition of a soul. There's so much in the spiritual DNA of each and every neshama, of each and every soul. And each of that, and that is completely and absolutely mirrored by God himself and his attributes and his powers, each one of which he gave us a little bit of, an inkling of, a small dimension of within this powerful thing that we call a soul. And perhaps we'll spend some time talking about that a little bit more next week. But the idea of Sapirut, each day we need to count. We need to make each day count. So not only are we marking time and showing the significance of time, which is profoundly important and so significant in our lives, but we're also focusing on the dimension of each and every single dimension, 49 times 7 of the different sfirot, of the different attributes within our makeup, within our soul. And each day we're working on, or we're meant to be working on and thinking about, one other different attribute, preparing ourselves as we go painstakingly through each crevice and each crack and each part of our neshama, of our soul, making them count and making them shine, making sure that we do the Sfirat HaOmer properly and correctly. And so each night we count Sfirat HaOmer, we count the Omer. Remember, you need to only make a bracha, you only can make a bracha if you've counted through the entirety of the 49 days. So as we keep on going, we need to be reminded all the time of that. Otherwise, there is still the significance of being able to join with others and to actually count, even if you have missed out and you are not actually saying it with a bracha. There's still the mitzvah of being able to count each and every day. And so as we go through the sfira, we count, we make them count, and we make them shine. And hopefully we can carry that all forward and make a significant change into us, in ourselves, and therefore into each other and to everybody around the world. So wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead, a good Chodesh Tov for tonight, tomorrow night, and Shabbos, and look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week for another exciting installment of Judaism 101.9.